tonight we are looking at what happens when you're walking in God's will. Fabulous things happen, and stinky things happen sometimes on the way to the fabulous things happening. How I respond so often becomes the key to whether I'm able to be blessed and a blessing to others. I love Acts chapter 16. If you weren't here last week, please grab the CD because it's a really important study. We spent a lot of time in the first half of this chapter just looking at guidance, how God guides us, how important it is that I be interruptible, how important it is that I am persistent in obeying, even if I don't have a full set of instructions, and how important it is if I'm doing God's work that I have the guide going with me. That's the primary thing in the book of Acts that is missing, the missing ingredient in the church today. They didn't know anything about what they were doing. All they knew was to hang on to Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and do whatever he told them, one step at a time. And of course, that's the church that turned the world upside down, changed the world. Why are we not changing the world as the church? Why is the world changing the church today? That's largely one of the reasons. We are not led and empowered by the Holy Spirit in the same way. And that's to our loss. We stopped at verse 15. We saw Paul in this chapter with his companion Silas and Luke. We saw them before Luke joined them doing God's work, doing, actually, if God would say, Bob, pick a ministry, whatever you want, and I'll bless you, I would pick the ministry they had. The ministry they had was traveling around to churches filled with believers that love Jesus and encouraging them. Man, what a great ministry that is. So they were doing that. They did that really every place that they'd gone before. But they came to a point at which the Holy Spirit forbade them to go any farther in that direction. However he did that, the Bible doesn't tell us, they kept going anyway. And then he just stopped them. He didn't permit them. We gave a theory last week is that maybe Paul's blindness, or at least the illness that resulted in his blindness, was what stopped them, because they stopped in their tracks, they did a complete 180, and then they headed for the nearest trustworthy doctor, which happened to be in Troas, and that's where Luke, the author of this book, that's where Luke joined them. And in the first part of chapter 16, you see for the first time in Luke's narrative, first time in 16 chapters, what, 15 years maybe so far, you see the pronoun we and us, because Luke joined them. So God stopped them, but they didn't know where they were to go, and he was able to redirect them. We talked about how encouraging it is. And I know people who are absolutely frozen in their tracks, afraid to do anything because they're afraid it'll be a mistake. And I always take them to Acts chapter 16, because here were godly men doing really good things, but they were going in the wrong direction. God had a plan for them to do something else, but they didn't know he had a plan for them to do something else. So they were just doing what they were doing, and he was able to stop them and redirect them. And because they were obedient to that and they were interruptible, they got to be part of the plan that God had. Specific thing. We talked about this in great detail last week, and it's very illuminating. Part of what happened was, after a dream, they went to Philippi, large Roman retirement community, prosperous city in Macedonia. Because there were not 10 adult Jewish males in that whole city, there was no synagogue. But there were some Jewish believers and some what the Jews called God-fearers or God-worshippers, Gentiles who believed in the one true God, the God of Israel, which is no mean feat when the entire rest of the world was polytheistic. The Jews were the only monotheistic culture on the face of the earth. And the custom for Jews, we talked about this last week as well, the custom for Jews when there was no synagogue on Shabbat, they just went down near running water. I gave you my theory as to why that might be. I think it has something to do with oxygen, highly oxygenated air. It's like God said, okay, you don't have a synagogue? Find some highly oxygenated air, running water. You'll be invigorated. Hang out with me there. And so when Paul and his companions went down there, supposing, it said, that there would be some Jewish people there praying, they went to the nearest running water. Sure enough, they found a successful businesswoman named Lydia. A woman who her occupation would not have existed had she been in a predominantly Jewish culture, because there was no such thing as a successful Jewish businesswoman. It was unknown. She was successful because she was a dealer in purple cloth. Only rich people could afford purple cloth, so she was sort of like the clothier to the stars, or to the wealthy people. Successful woman. Now we're going to see the polar extreme opposite end of the human spectrum. And the reason I'm pointing these things out is because this is the reason that God inconvenienced these faithful servants. Because God wanted to reach somebody. Often I've asked him, it's not very flattering in one respect, the answer I got, but I remember one time asking the Lord, well, Lord, why did you move me 4,000 miles out here? And he said, because you said yes. Because you were available. I asked you to do it, and you said you'd do it. And not everybody that I ask to do stuff like that says yes. So thank you. And I thought, well, when you put it that way, okay, well, I always want to be that way. I love it when the successful business people are coming to Jesus, and they invite you to your house, and the church happens in their house, because they always have just the best refreshments. But now look where they go next. Keep this in mind, because often when God's plan is unfolding, it doesn't go from fabulous to fabulous to more fabulous to more fabulous. Sometimes it tanks out. Sometimes chapter 12 stinks. And sometimes chapter 13 stinks even worse. But then chapter 14, the fabulous stuff starts again in as the plan unfolds. So verse 16, Acts chapter 16, and I will read all the way to the end of the chapter in the narrative, and then we'll look at the yummy details in this. Now it happened that as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. I don't know how your English grammar is, but that is horrible syntax. I just don't like the New King James Bible in terms of the syntax in modern English. But you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. If I have to reword it to make it more readable. There's this demon-possessed slave girl. She's got a spirit of divination. We'll tell you what that means in a minute. And she made a lot of money for her masters. Notice those two things. Please underline the word possessed and the word masters. This is the lowest rung on the totem pole. This is a woman who is a double slave. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. That's the truth, by the way. So there's a demon-possessed woman advertising for Paul's missionary campaign. How did he feel about that? Well, modern-day ministries don't seem to really have a problem with that. But there were a couple of times when the demons that Jesus cast out said, he called him the Son of God, and he told him to shut up. Here, Paul does what amounts to the same thing. Verse 18 says, she did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, literally in Greek it says, worn out with being annoyed. Strong word. He turned and he said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Now the marketplace, the Amplified Bible says, to the place where the trials, the public trials were held. So they didn't like go down to the produce stand and do this. This was a legal, it was a legal place, although we're going to see later that the proceeding was not legal under Roman law. Typical flaky politicians. They brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. By the way, none of that was true. And then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes. Not the magistrates tore off their own clothes. They tore off Paul and Silas's clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. This has bugged me, what the rod was. Was this like a little switch? You know, I looked up the word. You know what it means? The word means walking stick. So they beat them with walking sticks. Still do that in Singapore. Corporal punishment. It's called caning. And when they had laid many stripes on them, verse 23, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. The Amplified Bible says the dungeon. And I just noticed something about that yesterday had to put a little smiley face next to there, because he wound up plopping them down in the place with the best amplification and the best reverb in the entire prison. And he fastened their feet in the stocks. Verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were whining and feeling sorry for themselves. No, this is not what it says, is it? It says, at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Please underline that phrase. Folks, it's true more than you realize. When you're suffering, other people that are suffering are listening to what comes out of your mouth when you represent the Lord. They were praying and singing praises, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, huge earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened, the Amplified Bible says. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep, seeing the prison doors open. You guys remember when we went to Williamsburg? And remember we looked at one of the oldest jails in all of the colonies? Where did the jailer live? Well, he lived in a lean-to structure attached to the jail. So his house was rattled as well. So he sees the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm. We are all here. I put a little question mark, like, why were they all still there? And then he called for a light, and he ran in, and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I've heard 800 Baptists altar calls preached with that as their text, but I do not believe it was a religious question. Because the word, what must I do to be saved, is simply mean, get me out of this. What do I have to do to get rescued from this? Because his life was forfeit if any of the prisoners escaped under Roman law. What do I do? However, it was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. Even though it was not a religious question, Paul gave him a religious answer. And I'm going to read verse 31 in the Amplified Bible because it just is thrilling. What it does is it fattens the Greek words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what it said. And they answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you will be saved, rescued. And this applies both to you and your household as well. You want to be truly rescued? The stinky system that you work in, where if you flub up on your job, they kill you. They don't just dock your pay or fire you or demote you. They kill you. You want to be rescued from that whole life? Take yourself out of your own keeping and trust yourself to Jesus Christ's keeping. That's what the word pisteo means. That's what it means to believe on him. I believe, by the way, I'm not the only one, that that's the reason why God allowed these guys to get beat up and thrown in jail, was just to reach this one guy. And of course, that's never the end of the story, as we studied on Sunday and the Sunday before that. When the word bears fruit in somebody's life, it reproduces perpetually. It just keeps reproducing. And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, verse 32, and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. And now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced having believed in God with all his household. That is so watered down from the Greek. Only other place I know that this word is used that's translated rejoice, it was spoken of Jesus. The word means to leap much. It means to be absolutely unable to contain your joy. And it reminds me of the first Super Bowl that we won with Tom Brady as a quarterback. Do you remember the end of that game? Do you remember it all came down to a field goal? And you remember we had a whole crowd full of Christian people, and as the ball, Adam Vinatieri's kick, is arcing through the air, nobody's breathing. And then it goes through the uprights, and it takes a space of what seemed like minutes, but it was just seconds, where we realized, we won! We won! And I still have imprinted in my head every person that was in that room. And they're jumping up and down. People who are conservative New Englanders. People who wouldn't dream of doing that in church. Were just so ecstatic. They couldn't contain themselves. That's this word. To leap much. Ha. What is it that caused somebody to totally lose control? Well, he took himself out of his own keeping and put himself into Jesus' keeping. What, did he like win the lottery then? Or did, you know, $1 million fall into his pocket? No, a ton of weight was taken off of his shoulders. Probably the same thing happened to you. If it didn't happen to you, I wonder if you experienced the same being born again that I did. Because that's the very first thing that happens. You are just filled with this unbelievable feeling of, I don't know how to even describe it. Freedom, weight off your shoulders, incredible joy. You just went through this complete emotional circle of realizing I am the scum of the earth. I deserve to be fried right here and now. But God loves me. He's always loved me. He even loved me when I was getting scummier and scummier and scummier. And way, way back, long, long time ago, Jesus paid for my sin, and God brought me to this moment just to tell me, I love you, you're free, if you want to be. And when I went through that emotional circle, I couldn't say, you know what, that was a long time ago, that was decades ago, and it hasn't stopped. That feeling of joy in my heart has not stopped, and I've had bad stuff happen to me, but that joy never went away. So I'm all for this guy. I know why he was dancing around his house. And that was a free little sermon. There was no charge for that. When it was day, the magistrate sent for the officer saying, let those men go. Now, they never should have done what they did to Paul and Silas to begin with. They only did it because they were under pressure from these rich guys in front of all the people. And then all the people got involved, and typical politician, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. They just caved. So we're going to see what happened in that little getting caved. Now, surreptitiously, the next morning when, you know, did they have a change of heart? Well, no, there's no pressure on them now. And now they realize, well, you know, we shouldn't have done that. So they send down to the jailer, and they say, you know, let those guys go. And so the keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. So, you know, now go in peace. Sure, we beat you with walking sticks till you could hardly stand up. We threw you in jail, put your legs in stocks so you couldn't even, you know, relieve your pain. So go in peace. And Paul said to them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Roman citizens, and they've thrown us into prison, and now they want to put us out secretly? No way, Jose, is what the Bob translation of the Greek says. Let them come themselves and escort us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and went. And they were afraid. That's a sanitized word. They were terrified when they heard that they were Roman citizens. Roman law said you could not touch a Roman citizen in any way to reprove them or to punish them or to incarcerate them without the due process of law. And non-Roman citizens were treated in a completely different way by the Roman government than Roman citizens. If you violated that law, what you did to those Roman citizens illegally would be done to you. You can see why these guys were nervous. And so they came and they apologized to them, that's what the Greek word means, and they escorted them out and asked them to depart the city. We're so sorry. Could we buy you some Dunkin' Donuts on your way out of town? Polish your car, sir. Here we have some free coupons to all-you-can-eat pasta night at Denny's. We're so sorry. You know, just sorry. Didn't know, you know, just sorry. So sorry. Sorry. I picture Monty Python when I... And so they went out of the prison and they entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, underline that word, where did the guys come from? When Lydia got saved, there was only women. Now all of a sudden there's a bunch of men in the church that meets in Lydia's house. Where did they come from? And then after they encouraged them, they departed. There's some great stuff in here. I couldn't resist some of it. Let's back up to verse 16. And I saw some raised eyebrows last week with a couple of things I said. Yeah, actually, this week I did too. About Satan advertising for Paul and Paul not liking that. Because it's so much part of our Christian culture that we don't get what Paul was so bugged about. Well, she was telling the truth. Well, yeah, she was demon-possessed, but, I mean, you know, it's free advertising. Just think, she can reach a whole market that will never come to church. So what if she's demon-possessed? She's telling the truth.